This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I need to do a little setup as we... It's another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I need to do a little setup before we do Medal of Honor Monday here, because as you know, it's time for Medal of Honor Monday. Every Monday at this time, we take a Medal of Honor citation, and we read it. That's all. Nothing special about it. Well, there's tons of special about the citation and the men who did them, but anyone can do this, remember. If you are a coach, teacher, maybe you're a manager at work, nothing political about printing off one of these and reading it for people. But something you can do with your family. This is how we honor the men, honor the deeds. It's how we encourage more of these kinds of people and less the freaks we have filling up our society. But before I get to this, I need to, you know what? I should probably do a little bit of the history of it afterwards, mainly because I don't know how long it's going to take. So without further ado, this was World War II, U.S. Army Air Corps. That's kind of the precursor to the Air Force, but they were all Army back then. And this is the Medal of Honor citation for a Maynard Harrison Smith Sr., who was actually known as Snuffy.
Ready, aim,
fire. Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
And this took place May 1st, 1943 in Brest, France. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action above and beyond the call of duty, the aircraft, of which Sergeant Smith was a gunner, was subjected to intense enemy anti-aircraft fire and determined fighter airplane attacks while returning from a mission over enemy-occupied continental Europe on the 1st of May, 1943. The airplane was hit several times by anti-aircraft fire and cannon shells of fighter airplanes. Two of the crew were seriously wounded. The aircraft's oxygen system shot out, and several vital control cables severed when intense fires were ignited simultaneously in the radio compartment and waste sections. The situation became so acute that three of the crew bailed out into the comparative safety of the sea. Sergeant Smith, then on his first combat mission, elected to fight the fire by himself, administered first aid to the wounded tail gunner, manned the waste guns, and fought the intense flames alternatively. The escaping oxygen fanned the fire to such intense heat that the ammunition in the radio compartment began to explode, the radio, gun mount, and camera were melted, and the compartment completely gutted. Sergeant Smith threw the exploding ammunition overboard, fought the fire until all the firefighting aids were exhausted, manned the workable guns until the enemy fighter were driven away, further administered first aid to his wounded comrade, then, by wrapping himself in protecting cloth, completely extinguished the fire by hand. This soldier's gallantry in action, undaunted bravery, and loyalty to his aircraft and fellow crew members without regard for his own personal safety is an inspiration to the U.S. Armed Forces. Now, I thought it would be appropriate to give these guys a little bit more time and give us all a little bit more perspective. All right, so let's do a little history. Chris, I can do history before we talk about the system and reparations and everything else. I can do whatever I want. Okay. Hitler takes Europe. Ding, ding, ding. There's some news for you from a journalist. No, seriously. Hitler took Europe and began fortifying Europe. Now, eventually, as you know, Japan attacked us. Hitler declared war on us. And we wanted to go beat the Germans because they declared war on us, which I still don't even understand what he was thinking. Why would you, as Hitler declared, we weren't even mad at Germany. We didn't like Germany. We didn't like the Nazis. Americans hated the Nazis, but we didn't want to go to war. We didn't want to go fight the Japanese. And then Hitler attacks us anyway. Long story short, we eventually have to go over there and try to root these Nazi pieces of trash out of Europe. So we stage in England. That's where the 8th Air Force was staged, England. Now, if you're a history buff, you already understand some of this, so just bear with me. We had, that's what the plane Snuffy was in, was a B-17 Flying Fortress. Full disclosure, that's my favorite aircraft ever. I was in love to these to the point when I was a kid, I begged my parents one Christmas, all I wanted for Christmas was a toy B-17. All I wanted was, they're so freaking cool. Okay, so why the Flying Fortress? What's going on here? Well, this, some of this stuff gets boring, but it's important to understand. So you would take off from England, and you would go down to France and Germany, other places in Europe, and you would bomb things. What were we bombing down there? Well, everything we could get our hands on. We were bombing subs. They would have sub bases along the coast. Nazi subs were a pain in the rear end, so you try to bomb the bases, try to take that away. We would bomb factories of any kind we could find. Whatever they're making there. If they're making food for the troops or ammo for the troops, bomb the factories. We would bomb, later on, we just flat out bomb cities to dust. I do need to clarify something. You can't imagine how inaccurate the bombing was. The technology just wasn't there. They're not missiles. They're bombs. You're dropping them from way up high. A million different things can happen, and your bomb doesn't land on the munitions factory. It lands 10 blocks away at the middle school, and it's really ugly. So you're flying over there on these missions. Well, the Germans knew you were coming. They knew that the Allies were staged in England. They knew the bombers were there in England. And honestly, if you're somewhere dug in, like if they were attacking your town right now, wherever you are, overhead bombing is probably the thing you would fear more than anything else. If you ever read accounts from, like I can think of one, I can't remember the name of the book, Tunnels of Chuchi or something like that. There's a book about the tunnels, all the tunnels in Vietnam, and it doesn't matter. I was reading a book, and that may not even be the right one, but it was from a Vietnamese perspective. The Vietnamese soldiers, he was talking about what it was like to live under the threat of aerial bombardment, because we were always flying our planes overhead and dropping all these bombs in there. And you just got to the point where if you're them, you're constantly looking up in the sky. And Tunnels of Chuchi. Okay, wow, okay, that is a really good book. I don't know if that's the book I read it, but yes, that's the book I read about the tunnel rats. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But you learn to just live it. You fear it. And we don't really have a good understanding of what that's like, but right now, if I walked outside to go get the mail, and I heard something that might be a plane. Boom. Everyone would call out, all eyes in the sky. Oh my gosh. It rules your existence. All right. It's that kind of a big deal. So the damage these bombers can do is extreme. Therefore, the things the Germans are going to do to stop the bombers, they're going to take extensive steps. they had two main steps to stop the bombers. Step number one, anti-aircraft guns. These things were really, really incredible. And they were essentially shooting, for lack of a better way to put it, grenades. Way, thousands and thousands of feet in the air. You set a height on it, and then you shoot it up at the planes based on what you think their height is. And it's an exploding grenade by the planes. Remember, these planes are not made of armor. It's just crap. Anything can go right through it. Real thin, not aluminum, really. Otherwise, they're too heavy. So you're blowing up grenades by them, and they would send fighter planes up there. So the fighter planes, they would have a huge advantage over the B-17. This part saddens me to no end. Unless the B-17 had a fighter escort. If you were a B-17, you're in this big, slow bomber. You need your fighter planes with you to fight off their fighter planes. Now, all that's fine and dandy, except here's the thing. Look at the engines on a B-17, and then look at the engines on a fighter plane. The B-17 simply holds a lot more fuel and can go a lot further. So eventually, you're going to lose your fighter escort. And if you're a B-17 and you are without a fighter escort and you have anti-aircraft guns shooting you, but mainly fighter planes coming at you, you are in deep trouble. And again, this saddens me because I always viewed this plane as this fortress. They called it a flying fortress because there were so many guns coming out from everywhere. The waist guns along the side, there's a turret gun on the top, there's a tail gunner, there's a couple guns coming out the nose by the radio room. This is actually what Snuffy was. We're going to talk about this in a moment. There was the ball turret. Now, the whole B-17 was horribly dangerous. The 8th Air Force lost more men in World War II than the Marines lost in the Pacific. That's how many people died over there. It was horrific. And I'll describe why it was horrific and why it was actually extra horrific for the ball turret gunners in a moment. And then we'll go back to talking about the CDC and politics and other stuff. But first, let's talk about where do we put our money? Where do you put your money? All the companies are losing value in the market. They're all laying everyone off. Everyone is practically putting up the bat signal that says recession's about to be here. So what do? Remember, things you can touch and feel. You need to be investing in real estate right now. Real estate, real estate, real estate. Why? What does that house get you? Value forever. No matter what the market does, ups, downs, you buy that house, you can touch and feel it. You've added value, lasting value. Done for you real estate. These are our people with our values, and they handle everything for you. They find the best markets. They find the best houses in the best markets. They vet them for you. They get the financing. They get it insured. You don't do anything but add value to your life. That's customer service, and they're our people. Go to doneforyoujesse.com. Doneforyoujesse.com. All right? Protect your money. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I am proud to admit we have driven the show right off a bridge already. I am officially distracted by history. We'll get back to CDC stuff and reparations and our embarrassing foreign policy. I'll even get to your phone calls. Not right now. I need to finish my history, but I didn't take any calls at all last week, and I don't think I took any the week before. I feel bad. The wife yelled at me, and she said, you got to let people talk. So 877-377 4373-877-377-4373. Remember, no small talk. None. Just get right to the point. All right. All right. Back to what we were talking about. So the B-17 Flying Fortress. It's big. It's really, really cool, but it's slow. And without a fighter escort, it's in serious trouble. Now, why do most people die? How did most people die in the B-17 Flying Fortress? This is honestly, it's the worst part of it. I almost didn't even tell you this part because it sucks so bad, but I thought we can all handle it. Most people died in the B-17 because it was going down and they couldn't get out. it's so big. And when you think about it, and lots of times you're not strapped in there and everything isn't a door. Now think about a plane that's spinning or a plane that's falling. You just can't. It's not as simple as opening up the door and jumping out of the plane. If you had a parachute on you, even then, it was difficult to get out. And I have always hated that fact about the whole thing, because that means our guys traveled the whole way down to the ground before they died. And that's no fun at all. But that, look, lots of guys got shot to pieces and blown up with the flak before they went down, which brings us to the coolest part of the B-17 and the most dangerous part by a mile of the B-17, the ball turret gunner. If you're driving, please do not do this. Everyone else, if it interests you at all, like it interests me, go look at a picture of the B-17. You see that ball sticking out the belly of it, the bottom of it, with twin 50 cals in it? That was the ball turret, all right? The ball turret was not originally there. They put it there because the fighter planes, enemy fighter planes, figured out, wow, fighting these guys, fighting these bombers from underneath, they're a sitting duck. They can't do anything to me. So we'll come up from underneath. So they put the ball turret there. Originally, the ball turret was remote controlled, but it was almost impossible to operate. Remember, we're not talking about the era of touchscreens and stuff like that here. So they reconfigured it. And I just thinking about this, because I don't like small spaces that much. Just thinking about this drives me crazy. You had to be a very small person to fit in there. They reconfigured it so that, all right, let me put it to you this way. I'm going to try to put this, so in case you're driving, I want you to picture this. All right, I want you to picture both guns pointing straight down. Okay, guns are pointing straight down at the bottom of the plane. That's how it had to be configured for the ball turret gunner to get in or out of it. There was only one door, as you can imagine, and that door, it had to be facing that way to get in or out of it. He could not be in it when they took off. It had to retract into the plane, obviously, because it hangs out the bottom, or landing. You really didn't want to be in it when you were landing, like an emergency landing with the landing gear out, and that happened, but I'll set that aside. So it takes off. He then has to climb down in this ball turret. Now, I want you to wrap your mind around the bravery, because this is a snuffy guy. The ball turret was so tiny, you had to be tiny to qualify to get in it. You would shoot the twin 50 cals between your legs. Basically, put your feet down by the barrels, and your face was at the back end of it. You're shooting between your legs, and it was too small for you to wear a parachute. You could not wear a parachute. It was also the gun the Germans feared the most. It was the gun they shot at the most. It was also made of aluminum and plexiglass, meaning forget about the German fighter heavy cannons they're shooting at you. I'm fairly certain I could shoot my .22 squirrel rifle right through that thing like a blowtorch through butter. Plexiglass and aluminum. It's a death trap. Oh, not only are they all shooting at you with no parachute, you have to turn the thing side to side and try to find the fighter planes who are coming at you. And you don't have 360-degree vision. You have to locate them and shoot them before they shoot you out of the plane. Can you even comprehend the bravery it takes to stare down 20,000 feet with no parachute on, as a German fighter plane is screaming up at you, firing at you with no protection and no parachute at all? That's a ball turret gunner. That's awesome, man. The 8th Air Force, totally underrated. I'm actually very excited. I've been told, I hope this is true, I didn't look it up. I've been told, you know how they made that series Band of Brothers about Europe? And then they made kind of a twin series, The Pacific, about the Pacific fighting. I've been told that a project honoring the 8th Air Force and everything I just described to you is in the works, I believe, by HBO. Chris, Michael, will you look that up? So I'll keep you updated on that if that turns out to be the case. But the Flying Fortresses, those 8th Air Force guys, man, as much as I give the Air Force crap just because it's fun, dude, those guys, I'm amazing he could fit in the ball turret with the big brass ones. Oh, Masters of the Air. It is coming out. Okay, Masters of the Air. Do we know when it's coming out, Chris? Can you try to find that out? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Masters of the Air. Okay, so there is a new one coming out. It will be heavy. It will be difficult. They would lose a lot of guys, but it'll be awesome. All right, let's talk about the system shifting some people around on us, trying to throw a little loaf of bread to placate the masses. But first, let's talk about your shooting. You practiced this weekend with your Mantis X. Are you faster and deadlier now than you were on Friday? I hope so. Remember, these shootings are taking place all the time now. All the time. Mental health issues, drug issues, a country flooded with illegal. It's really, really bad out there. No one's going to save you and yours but you. So if, God forbid, it happens and you have to pull out your weapon in public, are you faster and deadlier than the guy who's there to kill you? Mantis X will make sure you are. The Green Berets use it for a reason. The Marines use it for a reason. You dry fire practice in the comfort of your home. You don't have to leave the air conditioning, and they're putting you through drills, giving you feedback, getting you better. Go to MantisX.com, all right? MantisX.com. We'll be back with the system and your calls. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Apparently, we had some problems with the phones, but they're all fixed now. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. Couple more things on the ball turret, Gunner. I mentioned this. I'm not sure if I made this clear, though. The ball turret, just a couple quick things. 60% mortality rate. 60. The average for a B-17 was 19%. Ball turret, 60%. And this is the part that gets me when you consider what this means. I mentioned it, but I don't think I clarified it quite enough as we're getting ready to move on here. The ball, it can't be down for takeoff or landing for obvious reasons. It would be on the ground, correct? Well, it raises and lowers hydraulically. What does that mean? It means you need things to be functioning in the plane for it to raise or lower. All right? You with me? Also, it was not at all uncommon. I don't want to say routine, but it was very much the norm to have to land without at least one portion of your landing gear. So maybe you've already gotten to where you should be, but I want you to picture this moment. You're in a ball turret. The ball turret can only be in a single position to have you be able to get out of the ball turret. And someone else needs to be there to help you get out. It's a two-man job to get in and out. Okay, still with me? So you're in the ball turret. The ball turret, because of all the bullets and flak, is no longer working. It's no longer turning. It's no longer able to go up into the B-17. And you're flying back to your base without working landing gear. You are flying to where you know. Not think, maybe, you know you're about to be smashed into a potato chip when you hit the ground. This did not happen once. This was a very, very common thing. Now, do you respect the ball turret gunner more than you did before? People don't even know they existed. Ball turret gunners and tunnel rats, man. All right. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky announces departure from the Public Health Agency. Now, one thing I saw today, because we're going to move on, get some emails, get some phone calls and things like that. One thing I saw was people celebrating this today. Nice! She should be gone. Good for her. I'm glad she's leaving. Well, no. This is what the system does. This is what people who are members, card-carrying members of the system does. Rochelle Walensky took over the CDC. She promptly did exactly as the system told her to do. She ran to every single news program, every chance she got, and told every single person that the vaccine would keep them from getting COVID, that it would keep them from spreading COVID. She didn't know any of this. In fact, let's be honest, she knew all this was a lie. So she went on the news and told the American people over and over and over and over and over again it was a lie. Now all the information is coming out, so people know that this information was a lie. And now she's resigning. Gonna move on. And people are celebrating this. One, even if she was getting fired is not enough accountability for intentionally misleading over 300 million American citizens. Even if it was just getting fired, that wouldn't be near good enough. That's one. Two, she's not leaving like that. She's leaving on her own accord. She's going to walk out of her job as the head of the CDC, and she is going to walk right into a lucrative career of some kind in academia, in the media, somewhere. That is a fact. But the system is going to do this a lot now as they're trying to gear up for an election year. I believe now this is why we've seen Fauci say, I wasn't locked down, guy. I wasn't this. We've seen Randy Weingarten out there every other day now, communist John Denver. I wanted to get the schools open, like she talks. I'm sure that's what we're seeing. Now the CDC director is leaving. I have humbly served. Now I'm going to move on. They're gearing up for an election year and trying to dump all that old stuff and get you to change your mind about how mad you are about COVID. Don't let COVID go. I am not. All right, 877-377-4373. George, West Virginia, go, boss.
Yes, I was telling your colleague I have had the singular good fortune to go into a B-17. The pilot let me and my sons go in and look around. And a few years later, had the singular honor to go inside of a C-47 that flew across the channel on D-Day. The pilot was English, and he was flying in here. They have an organization called RAM, R-A-M, Remote Area Medical. They come in here and help us hillbillies out, you know. But it was really something to see these things. And there's a poem, Mr. Jesse, that if you haven't not familiar with, it's by Randall Jarrell, J-A-R-R-E-L, and it's called Death of a Ball Turret Gunner. You can't read it on radio. I mean, it's just brutal. Okay. And when I was in Vietnam, for 2 weeks, we thought the South Vietnamese Air Force was just, you know, practicing. But we found out a little later they were actually bombing in a company-sized medical facility underground right off the base camp. So, you know.
Those people. Tony, right now, he's talking about the tunnels, the Vietnamese tunnels, and I brought these up before. I should be back to talking about politics, but I don't care. I'm nerding out now. When people hear about the Vietnamese tunnels, the tunnels in South Vietnam, part of the reason they were so good was, remember, the Vietnamese, the Viet Cong had previously been the Viet Minh, is what they were called, when they were running the French out of there. The French were running that place in the 50s, and they had used those tunnels and built up those tunnels back then, so they were already established tunnels, and it wasn't just a tunnel. When you dig into the tunnels, there were levels to them, as he just pointed out. There were whole hospitals underneath it, cafeterias underneath it. There were places every now and then they could watch a movie underground. You could go down to the third floor, to the second floor, to the tunnels would curve instead of being in a straight line, so you couldn't do things just like shoot something down the tunnel. It's wild, man. Some of those guys, dude, they're not right in the head. Max in Seattle has a correction for me. Go, Max.
Oh, hey, Jesse. My name's Max. I've been listening to you for quite a while, and I've got a unique background. I actually grew up in Great Britain in the 60s. We talk about that some other time, about socialism and why my dad, thank God, rest in peace, brought us to America when Boeing was hiring a lot of British engineers, aerospace guys. I'm actually an aerospace guy myself. And so I'm a World War II fanatic and don't want to cause a problem. But and I actually flew on, I don't know if you know, there was a B-17 called the 909. It was
Max,
named
just
after
get
the
to it. What do you need to correct?
Area code. Ball turret. It was not retractable. These guys had it much worse than what you're saying. It was
retractable. Now, maybe not all of them were, but it most definitely was retractable. Now an aerospace guy like that, I have to assume he knows more about it than me. The one I read about was retractable. So, you know what? We're digging into that in a second. Oh, that'll be exciting. He's probably right. Crap, that's going to be embarrassing. Dang. Chris, if he's right, we'll cut that part out. I'm kidding. We'll look it up. If he's right, we'll go. All right, anyway, we got to go to break. Before we go to break, we'll talk about some reparations and our embarrassing foreign policy when we get back. And more phone calls, 877-377-4373. Let's talk about the retirement you worked hard for. You worked for it. You put it in a 401k or IRA so you would be able to retire one day. And now they're destroying it. The value of your dollar. They're destroying the stock market. They're pretty much just wrecking all of it. So we're all going to work until we're 90, pretty much. Well, probably not the people who call Oxford Gold Group to get gold or silver in their 401k or IRA. Because when the bubble bursts, the people who have precious metals in their retirement, they don't lose everything, you see. Call 833-995-GOLD and do it. They will do it for you. They make it easy. But do it before you get your retirement wiped out. 833-995-GOLD. All right? We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll get to reparations and emails and your phone calls, 877-377-4373. I should say Max was right. The B-17 ball turret, not retractable. That's actually somehow worse. The B-24s was retractable. The B-24 was another World War II bomber. It sucked. I didn't like that. But the B-17 was friggin' awesome. But yes, oh yeah, the guy was right about the poem. The poem's very short. The death of the ball turret gunner. Apparently this was written by one or something. From my mother's sleep, I fell into the state, and I hunched in its belly, till my wet fur froze. 6 miles from Earth, loosed from its dream of life, I woke to black flak and the nightmare fighters. When I died, they washed me out of the turret with a hose.
Well, that wasn't, that's not very good. That's not a pleasant thought. But yeah, look, if you're stuck in there and the landing gear isn't working because all that shooting, you're dead. And you know it. God, that's crazy. It's just wild to think about. All right. Let's do a couple of things. One,
I only half jokingly refer to this country as the U.S. of gay often now because it really has become the national religion. Everything has to be about that. Everything has to pay homage to that. And sometimes I'll get some pushback on that. Jesse, I think you're overstating it. Jesse, it's a media campaign or Hollywood. Just listen to this headline. Rahm Emanuel. Yes, that's Obama's former chief of staff. He's our ambassador to Japan. You probably didn't know that, but he is. He is blasted for what in Japan? Now, we send him to Japan. Japan is now, not so much before, Japan is now one of our closest allies. And not only are they just wonderful people, I love Japan, I love the country, I love the people, they really are an important ally for many reasons, most definitely militarily. God forbid it ever cooks off with the Chi-Coms, the Japanese are going to be the ones that are going to have to be withstanding the whole thing. Now, what's our ambassador to Japan doing? Apparently, he's angered greatly the Japanese people because he's over there as ambassador pushing LGBT in Japan. Chris said, why? Why? What do you mean why, Chris? No, I don't know why you're rolling your eyes now because you think you know what I'm going to say. What do you mean why? It's our religion. Do you think Israel's ambassadors talk about Judaism in places they go? I'm positive they do. It's their national religion. Do you think Iran's ambassadors? Do you think they bring up Islam wherever they go? Of course they do. So why wouldn't America's ambassador push the new religion of the state? It's what we worship here. Everything has to be about it. Everything has to be gay. Everything has to be trans. Everything has to be at all times. Our entire society revolves around it at all times. To an extent, if some tranny shoots up a Christian school, the media and the government, including the FBI, they'll run cover for the tranny because you can't make the national religion look bad. That's just one, too. You can't make the national religion look bad. Gosh. By the way, that's a good time to read this one. Dear Most Handsome Oracle, I heard your comments on the Bud Light boycott, was thrilled. By the way, latest and greatest on that, pause really quickly. Anheuser-Busch keeps firing people. At this point in time, they fired a third-party agency who they're blaming for it. They just keep firing everyone who had anything to do with it. You have a major American corporation on their heels. Please don't stop. Keep going. Which brings me to this email. I have started to boycott other companies and shredded my Ulta card and told them I would no longer be buying from their stores because of their use of Dylan Mulvaney. Their reply was that beauty came in all forms and we would remain. We need to make examples of these companies so they think twice. Yes, yes, yes. Her name is Wendy. Yes. This is Anheuser-Busch. They provided the template for us. The communists have done this for years. It's time for us to get in the whip up the outrage game and start making carcasses of these companies like we did Anheuser-Busch. Why? Because the next time a board meets, a big corporation's board sits down and meets, and they're trying to figure out just how gay the next advertising campaign should be, they need to account for you, too. They've never had to account for you because the right has always been, well, I don't boycott. That's not who we are. Pathetic. All right. 877-377-4373. Chuck, Colorado, you got to jump out of a B-17?
Yes, Jesse. I was on the Army parachute team back in the 80s. Sweet. And every year we did a show at the Geneseo Warplane Museum in New York. And I have lost count of how many times I've jumped out of it. The bombing doors were wired shut, but we jumped out of the waste gunner access door. And I am blown away about how fortunate I have been in my life to have had that opportunity.
Chuck, tell me this, because I'm curious. We talked about it earlier. I've never been in one. Obviously, I've been in planes. I've never been in one. The plane's going down. Obviously, I'm glad none of yours did, but the plane's going down over France or Germany somewhere. How difficult would it be with the plane doing that to try to get to that door and get out? Because apparently that was the problem. They could never get out of the daggone thing.
Well, 2 years after I left the parachute team, friends of mine were still there, and we flew in Fokker F-27s, and too many jumpers at the back caused it to stall and flip upside down. And a really good friend of mine, retired now, he stayed in with one guy that broke his rib and punctured his lung, but he had to drag him across the floor of the aircraft now being the ceiling, falling faster than a person could. So they were literally pinned to the floor, which was now the ceiling because the airplane's inverted. But Eddie was able to pull the wounded soldier near the back, but he stayed with him because he was afraid that if he got out of the plane, which took all the effort of, that Eddie could do to drag himself and the punctured lung soldier to the back of the plane, the pilots managed to flip that plane back around. But when that plane's upside down, falling faster than you, you are glued to the floor.
Oh, thank you, Chuck. That was exactly the kind of knowledge we needed. Thank you, Chuck. Oh, no thank you. Nope, I'm good on the ground. Give me a fighting hole. I'm good. Y'all can go fly around. That sounds good. Oh, gosh. All right, 877-377-4373. We're going to talk reparations. Get to some more calls, some emails. Speaking of putting your money where your morals are, it is May 8th. That means the end of the month is 3 weeks away. You usually pay your cell phone bill at the end of the month, don't you? Who are you going to send money to at the end of this month? Be honest with yourself. Are you going to send money to Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile? I want you to know, June is going to be brutal on the Jesse Kelly Show for you, because I'm going to be grabbing Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile Pride Month ads, and I'm going to show you what you've been paying for, what you paid for, really. Maybe I'll grab some Pure Talk stuff, too, so we can all feel good about a company that loves this country. Pure Talk, they're giving away a free Samsung Galaxy phone right now. A free Samsung Galaxy phone. That's absurd. Save money. Get a free sick phone. All you have to do is dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. When you sign up for unlimited talk, text, and data, you get the free phone. And you get to feel good about where you pay your cell phone. Call them. Well, pick up the phone. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch now.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.